Penguin Random House Audio presents To Free the Captives, A Plea for the American Soul. This is the author, Tracy K. Smith. For Uncle Richmond. We need to lose the world, to lose a world, and to discover that there is more than one world, and that the world isn't what we think it is. Hélène Cizou. When I found I had crossed that line, I looked at my hands to see if I was the same person. There was such a glory over everything. The sun came like gold through trees and over the fields, and I felt like I was in heaven. Harriet Tubman. Train of Souls. Red dirt, pine needles and leaves, trucks and trailers nestled under trees. The steep peak of a church roof, a trailer's rusted eaves, veins of road like pale rope afloat on green sea. Railroad tracks running south, north, away. Dark water and a creek's muddy banks. The surface of a place shimmers in rain, shivers in wind. By what right might I enter in? One way of describing what I'm after is to say that I am searching for the soul family from whom I descend. Because I have been living a long time now with the dead, who refuse to abandon me. Often, it is my deceased parents who arrive, through tumult and tedium alike, to counsel and console. Buy a new car, my mother advised only recently. Don't pour another dollar into that old Land Rover. Get out in front of the problem. Get something sturdy and affordable, the biggest Toyota you can find. I was standing in my kitchen in Massachusetts, looking out at a row of tall trees that twisted and shimmied in late autumn wind, when the thought planted itself in my mind, practical and direct. It interrupted some other thing I had been in the midst of thinking. Days later, the old white SUV in which we had been shuttling our children for nearly a decade finally gave up the ghost. But my mother had warned us, and fortunately, we'd heeded her advice. My father doesn't speak so much as lean in close, offering to ease me of a burden. One whole year, as I listened over and again to Otis Redding preach and plead and get down on his knees with his voice, I felt my father's presence beside me, guiding me to the story of an entire generation striving gorgeously through setbacks, lined up like bowling pins by a nation's innumerable hands. And I wasn't any longer aching, affronted, alone. I was alive and continuing, just as my father all his life had been. I was aligned with a tireless tradition. As the daughter of Black Alabama Baptists, I was given the language of the soul in childhood. The soul, my soul, is indomitable, I was taught. No one but I myself can deny or diminish it. To accept such a thing is the opposite of escape. It is to assent to an everlasting purpose, a cosmic responsibility. As a child, I encountered evidence of the soul all around me. Soul food, soul music, the soul cry only Jesus could pacify. To bear witness to the soul was to attest to something eternal in me, in us, and what contained us. It even made idiomatic sense to me that Saturday mornings were devoted to the R&B music TV show Soul Train, just like Sundays were set aside for church going. We were soul people, believers in the soul, and Black people were the first folk I knew who invoked the soul constantly, not with fear, not with threats of condemnation, but an outright joy, mirth even, as though what bolstered this facet of us was, in part, our laughter. Black people falling out in glee, and Black people falling out in religious ecstasy, were two versions of the same thing, proof of the undying and holy in us. It is no mystery to me where such a preoccupation would have originated. For my parents and their kin, born into a nation intent upon their diminishment and inured to their dying, the soul stared out from unblinking eyes with the assurance of continuance. "I matter," it said. "Never mind what you attempt, I will last." When I was young, and both my parents were still alive, our vocabulary for the soul originated with them. I used and internalized it, but seldom did it fall to me to add to it. Older now, with aches and burdens of my own, I return again to the soul with a new determination. I return seeking connection to the train of souls, my parents, grandparents, ancestors, and guides, who might help conduct me through the din of human division and strife. I find my father's name and those of his brothers, sisters, mother, and father in the 1940 census. They live in Washington County, Alabama, in the town of Sunflower. A warm rush of feeling floods my chest when I see or say Sunflower, Alabama. I don't know the Sunflower my father knew, but my love of my father and my gratitude for the nurturing by which his body and spirit thrived there and grew, that is what the place name Sunflower, Alabama has long instilled in me. My father passed away in 2008, but I feel him even now calling my attention to a heron over a pond or a woodpecker battering a tree. My father's soul, his unfettered energy, revels in all the same things that captivated him when he lived in the body I knew. And so it is easy for me to imagine that same energy soaring over the woods in Sunflower almost a century ago, skimming the rooftops of that red dirt town, its patchwork of fields and furrowed farmland like a quilt pieced together by hand, before deciding it is a farmer named Eugene Smith and his wife, Rosetta, to whom he will arrive as the 9th of 10 children, like a tiny comet, on Halloween, 1935. The family farm feels large and safe to my father, who at the time of the census is not yet 5 years old. The barn and vegetable plots and the long rows of a peach orchard are the first places where the wonder of life greets him. Piglets grow into hogs, acorns into saplings. A peach pit dried on a windowsill promises to sprout one day into a tree laden with fruit. He plays in the grass, disappears under the vast canopy of a family of pines. To run, to ponder, to lie distracted on this land is what freedom feels like to a child. Though where I say land, my father's word is likely home. Maybe he knows that nature is the source of this safety and splendor. Nature, heated and tended by the men and women in his family, is also the source of health, sustenance, and security, the amalgam of which must simply be happiness in his
Sample complete. Ready to continue?